Action Radio. And here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, flying solo tonight here on Jet Nation Radio, but that's okay. We have lots to talk about, lots to cover. We are going to jump right into it as I just can't believe and I can't fathom the way the Jets handled this Brandon Flowers situation. It's truly unbelievable. We'll dive right into that. The call line is open tonight at 646-716-4697. I just want to let everybody know that this show is sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want, and get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/JetNation. So go on to audibletrial.com/JetNation for some great deals and some, you know, some audio entertainment. But let's dive right into it here today. The New York Jets right now, in terms of their cornerback situation, is the biggest question mark on this team. I would even go as far as to say that the cornerback situation for the Jets is a bigger question mark than Geno Smith at the quarterback position. Brandon Flowers is a corner that is not going to get you to the Super Bowl, is not going to make your defense number one in the league, but he is going to immediately upgrade a team that is in desperate need of a cornerback. So I sat here last week. We had some difference of opinions with some callers out there. A lot of people said, you know, I don't want to overpay for Brandon Flowers. I think the Jets are in this offseason. They've shown us that they're not interested in going out and overspending for players that they don't think fits the future of this team. And I get it. That's fine. Here's my problem. Not only did the Jets were not one of 10 teams that even placed a phone call to him. Can somebody out there explain to me how a team that's best cornerback is a rookie coming off 4 good games last year does not place a phone call to the agent of a cornerback who could immediately be the number one corner on this roster? Brandon Flowers, okay, people were talking last week, well, you know, Brandon, I don't want to give him a 4 or 5 year contract and spend $30-40 million. I don't want to see the Jets completely overpay for this guy. That's fine. But when you don't even call the player and the agent to see what the demands are, that's when it's ridiculous. That's when it's completely being mismanaged. That's a debacle. When you're not even reaching out to these people, you're not even reaching out to anybody, it's amazing. You have cornerbacks that are question marks, and you're not even calling the agent? We got a caller here on Jet Nation Radio right off the bat. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm on the air?
754, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I was actually listening, but since I'm on board right now, talking
you're on
to
board,
you,
man. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I called last week, too. My name is Josh from Florida.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, well, what's on my mind is I've been hearing good stuff about our safety, our first-round draft pick that we have. And to be honest with you, I actually really think, him with Miller on that side, I actually think is going to be a lockdown. I actually like this guy so much that I could see, like, last year we had a good line. They gave it their best.
Yep.
Throughout the whole season. And we just need that one playmaker that I think you can make a spark.
Yep, I agree with you, Josh. And I'll put you back on hold so you can listen in. And I appreciate you, you know, taking the time to listen to our show, Josh. And, you know, I agree with you. But I mean, it's to the point now where here's my concern. Everybody last week, and I'll say it again, didn't want to overpay for Brandon Flowers. They didn't want to give him a big-time contract. They didn't want to do that. Now you're in a sense where this is what the Chargers gave up for Brandon Flowers. If you're a Jets fan and this doesn't make you sick, I just don't get it. Brandon Flowers for a one-year contract, okay, is getting a 1.5 base salary. $2 million of incentives. And the incentives could grow potentially to $5 million. So basically, it's a one-year up to $5 million contract. If you're the Jets, this is what Brandon Flowers is doing. He's going to the Chargers and he's saying, look, I know that I just got cut. I just made some money in Kansas City. I did what I had to do. I want to go to San Diego. I want to prove myself. I'm not looking for a long-term deal because I'm going to go cash in next season. So wouldn't you want to rent, in a sense, a Brandon Flowers to play with these young cornerbacks on this team as a veteran presence in the secondary, a Pro Bowler? For what? For an incentive contract? For an incentive contract. You're going to sit there and you're going to tell me that the Jets should not have even contacted him. That's what gets me. It gets me that they didn't even reach out to the guy. A cornerback who goes immediately to number one on your depth chart. He's getting an incentive deal. What it is, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to prove to everybody that I can still be a Pro Bowl cornerback. I'm going to play for an incentive-type deal, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get a big contract next year. I'm going to get my four-year, five-year contract next year after I go out and prove myself. And the Jets, no part of it. 10 teams? Nah, we don't need to call them. Why not? Why bother calling him? He's going to want a six-year deal. The way they have handled the cornerback situation this offseason is a disaster. They messed up right off the bat with Werner. They didn't even make an attempt to go after Aqib Talib. Say what you want. I know Darrelle Revis wasn't coming back here. They completely didn't even consider the fact of bringing him back on a one-year contract. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie comes and visits the Jets. They offer him a one-year deal, slap in the face, goes and signs a five-year contract with the Giants. Antonio Cromartie leaves town for a minimum deal. And now you get a second chance of life at another cornerback. And you let him go to the Chargers without even calling his agent for an incentive contract. Big supporter, and I like what the direction the Jets are going in right now. I think that they're headed in the right direction. I think that they're on the move. I think that they're getting better. But this has to stop. You cannot mess up these type of situations. Now, if Brandon Flowers said, if I was the Jets and I said, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you the same type deal. I'm going to offer you an incentive contract. We're going to give you a one-year deal. Come prove to us that you can play in our defense. We know you're not the best press cornerback. We know you had an off year even though you were a Pro Bowler last year. We don't truly believe in you for the future of this team. But for this year, we don't have many options at corner. Our number one corner is a rookie. Our number two corner is injury prone. Our number three corner is a rookie. The number one corner is a second-year player coming off a rookie season. So how are they not in the mix for this guy? Even if you did not want Brandon Flowers and you were one of those Jets fans that think that they should not go and try and get older and let these young guys grow, I'm with you in a sense. If Brandon Flowers would have turned around and said, well, you know, I'm really not interested in playing in that defense and that style of scheme. I appreciate you matching the offer that San Diego put out and, you know, offering me an incentive deal to come back and prove myself. But I'm interested in going with the Chargers at this time. As a Jet fan, you can't be angry about that. you cannot be angry that a player decided to not choose to play for your team for the same type amount of money. You can be angry if they offered him a one-year, $8 million contract or $9 or $10 million contract. Absolutely. But how are you going to explain or condone not even reaching out? Not even making an attempt to put yourself on the table for a guy that now we found out that he was looking to prove himself. He wasn't looking for a future home. He was looking for a place that he could rent for a year, prove himself, either go back there next year or take a long-term deal somewhere else. And the Jets completely missed out on it. There's no way around it. When you look at the situation in their secondary, it's a complete disaster right now. A team that, towards the end of the year last year, we could see the cornerback position was hurting. Here's an immediate upgrade. We don't even call the agent. There's no explanation. As a general manager of this team, you should be held accountable for that. You should be held accountable for the fact that you're not potentially trying to make your team better or exploring opportunities. You hear John Idzik and Rex Ryan, and you know, I'm not even going to tie Rex Ryan into it because he's not the general manager of this team, and he is not going to be making decisions like that. But you hear them preach. They preach. We look at all opportunities. We look at all areas of improving. We look at everything. Well, you look at everything, but a cornerback that immediately improves your team that's looking for a one-year incentive-driven deal, you don't even call his agent. There's no explanation. Topic right now for the Jets. What direction do you go in now? Are you comfortable? As a Jets fan, I ask, are you comfortable with letting this cornerback tandem take the field week one? We got Frank on the line on Jet Nation Radio. Frank, go ahead.
I think signing Flowers would have been nice, but you take the risk of hindering McDougal's development because they say he looks good so far in camp. So I think I agree with signing him, and I also agree with not signing him. And also, he's going to demand a lot of money, and I don't think he's an itch.
Well,
contract.
Frank, he didn't demand a lot of money. He signed with San Diego today for an incentive-driven contract. He got a base of $1.5 million with incentives up to $5 million, a one-year deal. If Flowers gets hurt tomorrow, say week three or week four, and Brandon Flowers goes down for the year, San Diego is on the hook for $1.5 million for 1 year. It's a one-year incentive-driven deal.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And Frank, they didn't even call their agent. The Jets did not even think about that. As a Jet fan, how upset can you be that your team was not even in the – forget about signing him and forget about not signing him and improving and, you know, and hindering the development of players, Frank? How do you not reach out to an agent of a cornerback that could improve your team? How are the Jets not in the loop for now what we know? If John Idzik picks up the phone and says, Brandon Flowers, you know, we want to bring you on board, what's it going to take? Apparently it didn't take much, Frank. So how would they know that if they didn't even call?
I don't understand that. I mean, we know that Idzik is not really into the high-profile guys. Like, also, you can go back to Deshaun Jackson. They didn't even call him. And you have an opportunity to get one of the best playmakers in the NFL.
Frank, you're right on point. You're right on point. That's my issue. I have had some ups and downs with this Jets offseason. I think they did great in the draft. I think going out and adding Eric Decker was huge. I actually liked adding Michael Vick as a backup over Mark Sanchez. I like some things that they've done. But I'm very, very disappointed in the way that they've handled the cornerback situation in free agency and the way that they handled Deshaun Jackson. You, as a general manager of a team that's looking to improve, again, I'm not a general manager in any shape or form, but in my opinion, you should be involved at least finding out what it would take to bring in these premier guys. A DeSean Jackson, whether you think you're going to land him or not, the Jets are a wide receiver need team. You should be involved in speaking to that agent and finding out what it takes. Brandon Flowers fell into their lap. They messed up everything. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie, Antonio Cromartie, all of those guys.
Also,
they didn't sign them.
And you had a lot of cornerbacks on the market when free agency initially started. You had Werner, Davis, you had a couple other guys.
And what happens too, Frank, when Brandon Flowers goes to San Diego and lights it up and has a Pro Bowl year, guess what? If you want to go sign Brandon Flowers next year, he's going to be demanding a lot more than an incentive-driven one-year deal. He's going to want to cash out for an end-of-career contract.
Yeah.
So it just –
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. As a Jet fan and as a very positive Jet fan, it just doesn't make sense to me, Frank.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I didn't know he signed for that little because if you have – I mean, what did you say?
It was a one-year deal. It was a one-year deal with a 1.5 base and incentives that could grow up to $5 million. So basically, let's say he plays the entire year. You get Brandon Flowers, a Pro Bowl cornerback, for 1 year, $5
million.
But the Jets wouldn't even have known that he was looking for that because they weren't even in the mix. That's what disappoints me the most because as Jet fans, we could sit here and we could be angry that we didn't sign him. And we could be angry at the player because, the Jets could go to Brandon Flowers and say, we want to offer you the same type of deal, but if he decides not to play here and he wants to play somewhere else, there's nothing you can do about that. But the fact that we're not even in the mix on this and we don't know what he's looking for and you're not actively looking to make your cornerback tandem better, that's my concerning issue here.
Yeah, I think when free agency initially started, they're starting to get annoyed because Izzik wasn't making any of the big signings. Even though that could have helped the team in the long run, I think you needed to grab a corner.
Right.
I mean, we don't even know if Milner is going to be good or not. I mean, he picked it up late in the season, but the entire year was up and down.
There's a question mark at every single corner right now. Every corner on this team has a big question mark, and that's my problem. If you're the Jets right now, you passed on Werner, Aqib Talib, Dominique Rodgers Cromartie, Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie, and now Brandon Flowers. Think about that.
I think the Revis thing what really annoyed me because Sherman's probably is the best, but you have arguably number two corner in the league, and you don't even talk to him.
The only two cornerbacks, well, three cornerbacks, they were involved in Dominique Rodgers Cromartie, and we know what happened there. They offered him a one-year deal, and he skipped town and signed a five-year with the Giants. Antonio Cromartie, they really didn't have any interest in bringing him back. They cut him. So, when you release a guy, it's almost like, it's a slap in the face of not bringing him back. And Werner, they let go as well. They were in the mix. Reports were right off the bat that he was going to sign with the Jets at midnight when free agency opened, and he was gone. So
yeah, and he's a young guy because I know Izzik wants the young guys on this team, and he's only 25.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense, and he's perfect for the team.
It doesn't. What doesn't make sense to me is you're not even in the mix. When you're not in the mix for these type of players, when you desperately need a corner, unless McDougal is coming out there and he's the next coming of Deion Sanders. You need a cornerback, and you're talking about Brandon Flowers for 1 year, $5 million incentive contract. That's what gets me, Frank. I appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
No problem. It's baffling. I don't know how any Jet fan could defend the way they handled this situation. The way they handled the corners this offseason, I don't know how you could defend it. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will dive into a little more corners talk, and we will also move into the, you know, the OTAs wrapping up, mini camp, everything that's going on. We're talking Jets here on Jet Nation Radio. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to StrategicPeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. StrategicPeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are live here on Jet Nation Radio. We've spent most of the show so far talking about what is the, in my opinion, the debacle that is the Brandon Flowers signing. You know, they just completely misplayed it. I don't know how you would defend it. I would love to hear somebody chime in on how they would, you know, defend the way that the Jets handled this. You know, give us a call here tonight on Jet Nation Radio, 646-716-4697. Flying solo here on Jet Nation Radio. I guess I scared the other guys away. You know, it is summer, that time of year. Everybody seems like they are taking vacation, sitting on the beach somewhere. Maybe John Idzik sitting on the beach. Maybe John Idzik was down in Bar A down the shore this past weekend when Brandon Flowers was inking with San Diego. Frustration sets in as a Jets fan sometimes. And listen, I am a positive, positive Jets fan. But there's no way around this one. And I know we've harped on it, and I've been harping on it for probably the past, you know, half hour or so that we've been on the air. There's just no way to explain it. There's no way to, as a Jet fan, to be comfortable with the way this was handled. There isn't. As a Jet fan, you should be disappointed. You should be completely disappointed with the way this, you know, this situation was handled. We're live here on Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, flying solo here tonight. You know, we move now towards, you know, training camp getting underway. We've heard a lot of good things so far about Calvin Pryor, which is very, very it makes me have a good feeling as a fan to know that everybody is so high on this guy right off the bat. The coaches, everybody, you know, thinks that he I heard them say that he has the it factor. is one thing I heard from the DB coach. So that's a good sign for the Jets. You have to look at it from this point of view. What are your expectations going into this year? My expectations for the Jets, you have to have realistic expectations along with improving expectations. You hope that adding these off guys and adding these playmakers and adding people on defense, the rookies in a sense, are going to improve this team. How is the tight end situation going to shake out? Is Amaro going to start day one? Is it Sudfield's job? Is it Cumberland's job? There's a lot of questions right now. I know that Calvin Pryor obviously is the big talk of camp this year, along with Geno Smith's improving. That's one thing that makes me very, very happy, is to hear Geno Smith, you know, talking about being improved. Everybody's saying how he is light years away. One thing I did want to dive into, unbelievable story coming out this week about Mike Pettine seeming to cause his problems. Mike Pettine was decided to do a little interview this week and caused unlikely foes to join forces together against Mike Pettine. That's Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick. Pettine decided to come out and let everybody know that he thought, because of what Tom Brady had said, they had the playbook. The New England Patriots were in possession of a New York Jets playbook. Now, I don't have any idea if that's true or not. The players don't even have any idea if it's true. Of course, Bill Belichick says, you know, go ask Mike Pettine. And Rex Ryan pulled off his inner Belichick and said, go ask Mike Pettine. This story really took shape because the media just jumped on it. Because, again, you're sitting here in mini camp right now. You don't really have that much to talk about, especially now, though, with Brandon Flowers, the talk is back, especially in terms of criticizing the GM for the way he handled the cornerback situation. One thing I saw, there's three risers. You know, the big risers that we've heard right now are Dexter McDougal. You know, Rex Ryan was talking about his concerns after drafting McDougal in the third round, very injury-related worries. You know, but he's a big-time believer in McDougal now. He sat out most of the offseason, so he's finally getting himself going. They're saying he's very smart and aggressive. You better hope so. If you're a Jets fan right now, you better hope that Dexter McDougal is going to be one of your big surprises. One person I heard, my favorite player on the Jets, we share a last name together, is Razi Dowling. This is the guy that everybody... This is what gets me. A player that was cut by a secondary that was in shambles last year, the Patriots. This is the guy that Rex Ryan says, you know what, Brandon Flowers, Darrell Revis, both Cromarties. No, we're good. We have Razi Dowling. Spent last season on the Jets practice squad after being cut by New England. This one is a big question mark to me in terms of how much of a riser he could possibly be. I've heard Matt Sims is definitely on the hot seat in terms of making this team. They're talking about his in mini camp. He's not getting many reps as the coaches would like, especially right now with the reps that are going around in camp. It's almost like he's becoming the outside guy looking in. You have Boyd, you have Michael Vick, obviously, and you have your starter in Geno Smith. Where does Matt Sims fit in? Where does he fit into this scheme? Does he make a team? Does he get that third quarterback spot, or does Boyd take it from him? That's one of a big question mark. Kind of a side note in minicamp, not something that a Jet fan is going to jump all over. Not something that somebody is going to get overly stressed out about who's going to win the third quarterback spot. Right now on Twitter, I put out there, I'm just curious. I'm curious to everybody. Is there anyone out there who could defend the way the Jets handled this Brandon Flowers situation? And Connor Rogers at crodgers_NFL. He's the lead editor and NFL draft analyst at Turn on the Jets, seen on NewYorkJets.com. Wanted to tweet me and said, what is the situation exactly? Well, Connor, the situation is, I feel like I'm on the Jersey Shore, the situation is the New York Jets are in desperate need of a cornerback and decided not to call a corner who can improve their team. The situation is that the New York Jets have now gone through free agency and passed on every single playmaking cornerback that's out there. The New York Jets have now completely messed up another situation. That's the situation. Let's say that five times fast. The problem here is, and as a Jets fan, that's fine. And, you know, Connor Rogers, I tweeted back, I still have no idea what the situation is. They passed on assigning a 5'9 average cornerback that does not fit what they do. Oh, Brandon Flowers is now an average cornerback. This is news to me. A Pro Bowl cornerback is now an average cornerback. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, you want to sit here and you want to talk to me about, you know, what an average cornerback. Well, then if Brandon Flowers is an average cornerback, what kind of corners do you have on the Jets right now? Mediocre? You're passing on a guy that's going to improve your football team. How else are you improving your football team? At cornerback position, how can you not be upset that your general manager wasn't in on this situation? Well, that's the word of the night, is situation. How can you be upset that he's not in on this? That he is not making an attempt to improve your team for minimal expectations. We're talking 5-6 year contract. You're passing on a guy. In fact, you're not even picking up the phone. Maybe they need a new contract with Verizon over in Florham Park. There's a difference between making a football decision and not overspending for a guy like Brandon Flowers for 1 year, but you're not even in the equation. That's my problem with the situation. If you think Brandon Flowers is average, what kind of corners are on the Jets right now? Are they even on the same level of playing field as a guy like Flowers? A Pro Bowl corner last year in a down year nonetheless. A down year is a Pro Bowl season for this man. That's what gets me. That's what gets me the most. You're calling him average, which is fine. That's your opinion, and everybody's entitled to their football opinion as fans and as analysts. But then what do you call your players? What do you call the guys in the Jets right now in the cornerback situation? Gets me. That's what's amazing. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk expectations for this offense. Back after this.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem? I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick. What have you been listening to recently? I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess. Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music. Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous? It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death. Oh no! What should I do? I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living. Thanks, Doc!
Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
In the home of the Jets!
Josh, you're on the air on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. I'm back on there. I make this nice and quick. I know you're getting into offense. I actually think Nelson, he's a surprise to us. No one then mentioned his name. I actually think he could take the second string spot. The reason why is because when we got him half of the season last year,
right,
he was making big plays for us, and he was getting open. Draw a double team, allow Curry to get open, and the other tight end that we don't have no more to get open. So
right.
I actually really do think our tight end that we drafted is going to have a nice year.
I think so too, Josh. I think it's a matter of time, you know, on how they're going to move here. And I think, you know, when you're looking at this offense, David Nelson definitely has an opportunity here to be a veteran presence and make a roster spot over some of these young guys. I think that the goal is to get these guys that they drafted into the mix and, of course, get them going. But I still think you have to look at it from this point of view. The Jets right now, they need to get Geno Smith to be the guy that is not going to play not to lose. He has to be the guy to play to win. You have to be the guy that's going to be able to go out there, 2 minutes left in the game, take the football, go score a touchdown, and get a field goal to win. We saw a glimpse of it last year. We saw glimpses of it last year. The Jets need to stop playing offensive style of football to not to lose. They will not go anywhere future-wise if they're playing not to lose. You have to play, as Herm Edwards says, you know, we even have the audio here tonight.
Hello, you play to win the game.
You play to win. Going out there and expecting average or below average play from your quarterback, which is better than mediocre, is not the direction you want to go if you want to win. I just want to remind everybody that Jet Nation Radio is sponsored by Audible.com. It's a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They actually have over 150 1,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're listening to us here on Jet Nation Radio right now. If you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/JetNationRadio, excuse me, that's audibletrial.com/JetNation, you get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of service. Great deal. Check it out, audibletrial.com/JetNation. Get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of service. Can't beat that. We keep diving in here. We're talking offense here on Jet Nation Radio. We're talking expectations as well. So we talked about Geno Smith and what our expectations are for him. Wide receivers now. I look at this wide receiver tandem, and I say, obviously, your big gun is going to be Eric Decker. He's going to be the guy that everybody's going to look to produce big-time touchdowns in big-time spots. He's a big wide receiver. He's a red zone presence. He needs to step up. He was the one big signing the Jets had this offseason in free agency. Everybody's clinging to him to kind of be a savior in the receiving game. His expectations are obviously through the roof. We have Connor here on Jet Nation Radio. Connor, you are live on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
What's going on? How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Now,
so you guys,
Connor,
want to talk about Brandon Flowers?
Absolutely, Connor. So you decided, you on the lovely thing we have nowadays called Twitter, I wanted to answer your question, and here's where I'm coming from with this Brandon Flowers, and I like to use the word of the night is situation, apparently. That's what's come around. with Brandon Flowers, my problem with the way the Jets handle this is when you're looking at the Jets cornerback situation right now and the way that the Jets are lined up in the secondary, you have a second-year cornerback coming off of a great end of the year last year, which is very, very – everybody is still skeptical about how Milner can play this year. You have Dimitri Patterson, who obviously injury-prone. You don't know what the expectations for him are. You have Dexter McDougal, who's a rookie. And then, of course, you have the fill-ins that are coming in after. The Jets decided to pass every single big-time cornerback that came out this free agency, probably one of the biggest class of corners we've seen in a while in free agency. Brandon Flowers, who is an immediate upgrade, and even if you think he's an average cornerback, which, again, in an off year, he's a Pro Bowler. Coming into this year, a cornerback who immediately improves your team is looking for a one-year incentive-driven contract so he can go out there and prove himself and come back next year and cash out, in a sense. And the Jets are not even contacting his agent and not in the loop. That's a situation, and that is a debacle to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the frustration, and I definitely agree that the cornerback group is probably mediocre at this point. It's more of an unknown than either saying it's bad or good, so you kind of just go with the reasonable assumption that it's going to be pretty average or maybe even a little bit below average like it was last year. But I think there's no point of adding the mediocre Flowers at this point to a mediocre group already. My thing is with this overall situation is that it's not a situation, is that if they brought him in, great, but if they pass on him, that's fine, because you got to realize last year when he was playing in Bob Sutton's press man scheme that he really looked awful. He was as bad as it gets, to be honest with you. He's a 5'9" cornerback, weighs about 185 pounds. He's 28 years old, going to be 29, and he honestly just didn't look like he had much last year in a press man scheme. I don't think he fit with the Jets, what they were trying to do, and throwing him into the group of corners takes away reps from other guys that they want to look at. And I just don't think it's really – the point is it's not a situation. The Chargers got him for a one-year deal for $5 million, which is fine. That's a nice – it's a way that he could be a free agent if he has a good year in San Diego. But he's not a fit with the Jets. He showed that last year while playing under Bob Sutton, that he can't succeed in the press man scheme. To be honest with you, he can't even hold his own in a press man scheme. And that's an issue. You can't throw a guy out there in a scheme where he doesn't fit. He's 5'9", where he's gotten dominated, and he just doesn't look like the player he was when he was younger. And as for the Pro Bowl, the Pro Bowl just means absolutely nothing. Antonio Cromartie was out of the top 100 corners last year, and he was a Pro Bowler. That's how much of a non-issue the Pro Bowl is.
Right.
So the overall point is I just think that Flowers, it's not really a situation. I think they just kind of let it pass by them. And, you know, if they brought him in to throw him with the groups and see what he has, then that's fine. But I just think that they reviewed the situation and realized that this is a guy that really won't bring much more to the team because of a system fit, more or less, not to mention he was really bad last year, exceptionally
right.
bad. And it's taking away reps from guys that need the reps. Obviously, Milner's going to step in and start. It seems that Patterson's going to step in and start. But we have young guys like McDougal that he's going to get playing time if and when healthy. Langster, who's definitely is ready to take more of a cornerback role on. He's not just going to be a special teams guy all the time. Kyle Wilson, who's a pretty solid nickel corner. Not exceptional at anything, really, but he's still going to get the reps. And bringing in Flowers just really doesn't do anything for this team, so especially with the scheme fit. So that's my whole take on the situation.
Right, and I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you in the terms of, you know, bringing him in this scheme, and, you know, he's not going to fit the press corner type situation. But, again, you're talking about a cornerback who is an immediate upgrade over every single guy on your tandem right now. He's an up. He, if the New York Jets signed Brandon Flowers today, say San Diego in a what-if world, he immediately becomes the number one cornerback on your team. He's the best cornerback on the Jets right now if he's on that team. That's my problem. And you have to be in the mix, especially if you're talking about renting a guy who is looking to prove himself, who we have seen in the past. And you know what? You know the press corner situation, and you know he can come in, and you know he's not the best press corner, and he didn't look good in Bob Sutton's scheme, then you can put him in different types of schemes, you can move him around, and you can use a caliber cornerback like that. Rex Ryan, who's a defensive mastermind, can use a potential star cornerback, who we've seen be a star cornerback, in his own way. But now you've said to yourself, sure, if Brandon Flowers was going to go out there and demand five or six years with $6 or $7 million a year, and he wanted to be locked up long term, and the Jets decided not to invest their future in this guy, I get it. I'm with you. I think that in the grand scheme of things, it's not a good match. But you have to make your team better today, going into this year. And the fact that you are letting a guy walk without even having negotiations to give him an incentive contract to walk onto the training camp tomorrow and be the best cornerback on the field, that's a situation, and that's a debacle move by the general manager. Because if you are the Jets and you're telling me that Brandon Flowers doesn't fit in with your scheme and your defense, that's to me, that's ridiculous. Because who fits in? Who fits in with the Jets scheme right now? They don't have anybody in cornerback who fits in.
No, I understand. I understand that you want to add talent, but you have to realize it's a what have you done for me lately league. And Brandon Flowers did not even look capable of playing in this league last
year.
Yeah,
but what did anybody on the Jets do for me lately? What cornerback on the Jets makes me? What cornerback on the Jets would you take over Brandon Flowers right now?
No, but listen, I understand that. And what corner would I take over Brandon Flowers? Definitely D. Miller going into his second year, who actually looked capable of shutting down Josh Gordon last year and looked like an actual cornerback against Miami, not a 5'9" nickelback that just gets smoked on every play he has to step on the line of scrimmage. But I definitely would take Patterson when he's healthy. And then at least Kyle Wilson has his role with this team as a nickel. They're not plugging in guys. They're trying to build sustainability. And bringing in Flowers on a one-year deal didn't fit with what they do right now. And he doesn't really fit with what a lot of teams in the successful secondaries in the league do right now. That's why his interest. The guy got a one-year deal for $5 million. That's absolute slap up. That's nothing in this league at this point.
Right. And then why wouldn't the Jets? So then, if that's nothing in this league, why would? So the Jets are above right now in their secondary. They are above bringing in Brandon Flowers for 1 year, $5 million.
There's just no need for it. He doesn't upgrade anything.
He doesn't. He upgrades your entire cornerback tandem.
Not at all. He looked awful on the outside last year.
Who looked good on? Who looked good besides D. Milner for three games last year on the Jets in the cornerback?
Kyle Wilson definitely played better than Flowers last year. Fans can rip on Kyle Wilson as much as they want, but when you actually watch the guy play over the last season, he's been a decent NFL quarterback.
I cannot look at a body of work and a guy like Brandon Flowers against a guy like Kyle Wilson.
At the Brandon Flowers from 2008 to 2011. Maybe even 2012. But this is not the guy. The guy that got voted into the Pro Bowl and then Neiman season, an absolute terrible season in Bob Sutton's scheme where he could not hold his own.
What is the risk?
Do you realize that Chiefs scored over 40 points in the playoffs and they lost?
But what is the risk of bringing in Brandon Flowers?
Well, if you want to say it like that, that's fine. But the risk, in my opinion, is taking away reps from guys that could actually be on this team within the next 3 years.
So you're telling me that you're a team right now that you want to watch young guys go out there and struggle than watch capable guys go out there and potentially...
If they're here to contribute over the next 3 years, do you think the Jets are winning the Super Bowl next year? I certainly don't. What does Brandon Flowers do?
But that's not a mentality you have as a general manager. You have to
okay,
have a
you're
mentality
developing a second-year quarterback. You're shedding a bunch of awful contracts from Mike Tannenbaum. In the
correct.
Second year, yeah, you want to make the playoffs. You want to win the Super Bowl. You want to win. Out of the group of corners, you're going to throw in Brandon Flowers, who was terrible last season and does not fit into a cornerback group of guys that need reps, like a rookie, Dexter McDougal. You have Dee Milner coming into second year, who's a lock.
In the National Football League, when you're the New York Jets, you're not playing to give guys reps. That's what the preseason is for.
How do you develop rookies then? What are they ever going to do?
Well,
you're just going to throw them into the fire their second year when they haven't played down
not.
In the league? Because you had a 5'9" washed-up cornerback playing in a scheme that doesn't even fit anything
you
do. Who
got 1 year, $5 million?
It's a non-situation. They probably went right to Rex Ryan and said, hey, does this guy fit with what you do? Do you want to take a look at him?
Who fits? Who fits? I would love to know, then, who fits?
What do you think they did all offseason? They brought in three cornerbacks in the offseason that they want to fit into this. It's not like they just sat there and didn't sign anyone or draft anyone.
They watched both Cromarties go out the door. They mishandled them.
Have both been pretty bad. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had a great bounce-back season last year for Denver. Before that, he's been terrible, absolutely terrible. Antonio Cromartie's hip was not in check at all last year. Like I said, he wasn't even in the top 100 corners in the league.
All these guys are better than what you have.
If you want to argue that they messed up in free agency by not addressing the cornerback situation, I completely agree. I thought they should have solved that from day one. I was gung-ho about Vontae Davis, maybe even a guy like Altron Werner that doesn't really fit what they do, but he's so good that you could find a way to plug him in. But that's a whole other ballpark. The fact that they didn't address this months ago doesn't mean that you bring in an average, not even an average player anymore, and that it's now June.
You can't tell me a guy that hit the free agent market and 12 teams reached out to him is a below-average player. That's silly.
If you read into a report that 12 teams reached out to a player and you automatically assume it's true, you're just not aware of what these agents do in the NFL. Obviously, the amount of teams get pumped up so they get a higher deal.
Cornerbacks has a question mark at every single cornerback, and a guy who hits the market who is no risk, potential high reward. That's what it is. There's no risk involved. If Brandon Flowers goes out there and Brandon Flowers gets torched and plays like the below-average, mediocre corner that you say he is, there's no risk there. It's a one-year incentive-driven deal, and he's gone.
Well, there is risk because you wasted a ton of time on a guy that you already knew isn't good anymore anyway and doesn't fit with your team at all when you could be having better players in there. Because you said you wanted to win, right? This guy did not help the Chiefs win last year. Like I said... They scored over 40 points in the playoffs, and they lost. That's how terrible their secondary was.
That's not on Brandon Flowers that they gave up 40 points.
It's not. He was one of their starting cornerbacks. It's a pretty big deal.
If you give up 40 points in a game, it's not based off of one defensive player. Come on.
No, but he played a huge part. He's not a good corner anymore. I mean, I can't really bring this argument anywhere else, and I think it was a really good argument because I understand why you're upset that they passed on him, but it's a non-situation.
I'm not upset that they passed on him. I'm upset that they didn't even make the attempt to negotiate and potentially bring in a guy who has shown signs of being a good cornerback in this league. Regardless of what you saw last year, okay, you can bring in a guy who's going to improve your team who is not looking for the big money. The Jets right now, you've seen it with guys they've brought in. They've brought in veteran players on one-year contracts and washed them out. You saw it last year with Ed Reed and Willie Colon. You've seen it. You saw it again this year with Willie Colon. They've bringing in veterans who they think can bring these young guys along and can add veteran presence to your team.
And what have any of those guys done?
Willie Colon played fine last year at guard.
Okay, Willie Colon was fine, but that's a whole other ballpark when you're talking about a guy that has severe injuries throughout his career. I'm talking about veterans that have looked lost in the last year in Ed Reed. What did Ed Reed do for the secondary last year?
What did the Jets corners that are on this team, what did they do for the team last year besides take out McDougal and Patterson?
Antonio Cromartie, who was the worst corner on the team, is no longer on the team for a reason.
He was hurt for the entire last half. So you're telling
me I completely agree, but the fact is he's probably still hurt considering they made no effort to bring the guy back. They do their due diligence. They look into these things. They don't just let a guy walk by and say, you know what, we're not even going to talk to this agent because we don't need him. They do their research on these things.
And their research did them great last year with their secondary. They looked fantastic against the pass last year. They really did.
Okay, so you're saying that you're blaming a rookie cornerback who started last year. You're saying that their research was off because a rookie cornerback didn't light the world on fire.
A veteran brought in to help the pass was awful
in Ed Reed, which is another move, another one of these great one-year veteran deals that you love, was awful. Antonio Cromartie, who's now gone because – and you said he was hurt. So they did their research, and Antonio Cromartie was a good corner. But he had an injury-plagued season, and he looked awful playing with a bum hip.
Okay. Right. So, again, we sit here today. The New York Jets are going into the season. Their starting cornerbacks are Dee Milliner and Dimitri Patterson. And they just watched a Pro Bowl
cornerback go by the waste spot. He's not good anymore. I don't know how else to put it. Maybe he'll bounce back and have a great year in a scheme that fits him. But number one, can he play press man?
But you can move him into other spots on this team. They need a press corner. They need an inside corner. They need a corner.
They don't need an inside corner.
Oh, yes, because Kyle Wilson has been fantastic for the Jets.
Kyle Wilson was just about as solid as they come. Nickel corners are not superstars in this league. Every fan just clamors to have some superstar third corner. The league does not work like that. If you have a middle-of-the-pack guy who's had an above-average season the year before,
teams that pound the slot receivers like
you know what they pound? The new two tight end sets. That's what they do. They line against the Patriots, so they bring in a guy like Antonio Allen to line up man coverage. They don't need some superstar. You're talking about a guy that's 5'9" coming in the slots and dominating, which he's not going to do.
He doesn't have to dominate. If he plays average on the Jets, average is better than every single guy on that in the corner.
No, it's not, because Kyle Wilson was average last year.
Kyle Wilson was below average.
He was not terrible. He was average. Terrible is Brandon Flowers last year, who was just looked lost.
So Brandon Flowers has one off year, and he's not as good as Kyle Wilson.
It's a what have you done for me lately league.
Right, and what has
you can't survive in a press man scheme and you look lost for a year at 28 years old, you're probably not going to get brought in by a press man scheme the next year that already has their two starting corners in place.
You didn't answer my question. What have the Jets corners done for me lately that I am going out and passing on Brandon Flowers?
Have you seen Dimitri Patterson play? I understand he was hurt last year, but have you seen Dexter McDougal play? Did you not like what you saw from Dee Milliner at the end of last year?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. These are question mark guys who you need to have insurance. And
so you bring in another question mark guy to solve the question marks.
No, you bring in a veteran cornerback who can provide some type of skill on the field, and you're basing Brandon Flowers as a below-average cornerback because of a down year off year in a different defensive scheme. That's what you're basing it off of.
But it's not a different defensive scheme that he'll be moving to. He'll be moving to the same one that he had a down year in. And let's not downplay the down year. He had an awful year.
Right, but again, you're downplaying a guy who is an immediate upgrade at the cornerback position.
That's where we differ opinions, and we can go on about that all night. Me personally, I don't think he's an immediate upgrade whatsoever, and I think he might actually help the Chargers for what they want to do, and I understand that. But I just don't think he fits here. I don't think it's a situation at all, because letting a corner that had an awful year and doesn't fit what you do walk by, it's just not a situation. And I understand you feel differently. You feel that he was an upgrade.
Yep.
That's fine. I personally don't. And that's really where it starts and ends. Because my whole point is, it's not a situation. It's not a situation to any of the fan base. It's, I mean, obviously you have a pretty big issue with it, but I talk to thousands of people every month, and nobody even blinked at this one. So it's not really a situation that they just let him go by. If you're upset about it, that's fine. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, I just don't think he would have done anything for this team, and that's really where it starts and ends.
Well, Connor, I appreciate you joining us. You can check him out on Twitter. That's CRogers_NFL. He is the lead editor and NFL draft analyst at Turn on the Jets. You can see his work on NewYorkJets.com and also BreakingDownThePlay.com. Connor, I appreciate it. You know, it's – I hope – listen, where our opinion – where we have the same opinion is I hope we're sitting in week 8 and McDougal and Dimitri Patterson are top corners in this league and our defense ranks number 5 and we don't even care that they pass on them. That's what I hope.
I wouldn't get your hopes up for that, but I just don't expect much out of Brandon Flowers. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Connor. That's Connor Rogers. Check him out on Twitter again. That's CRogers_NFL. Well, we usually end the show at 9 o'clock, but there are certain people that we extend our showtime for, and we will extend our showtime tonight here on Jet Nation Radio. We have Courtney on the line. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You must have enjoyed that back and forth, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, unfortunately, I just caught the last end of the show. I was at work. But, it was a good one. That's what makes the show, you know?
Yeah, that's what makes it.
I was listening to it, and I really don't think we have a very interesting fan base. I have to say, I wonder if there's any other, you know, I bet you like Patriots fans don't play like that.
Here's the thing. If we didn't have difference of opinions, we wouldn't have radio shows, and we wouldn't have sports. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, we wouldn't have just fans.
What do you have for it?
Well, basically, I mean, I'm not sure too much what you covered, but I heard you didn't really talk about Stephen Hill, not that there's probably too much to talk about, but I heard that he did pretty good in camp, but you kind of expect him to since he hasn't done much in the past 2 years. So what do you think? Granted, you know, the players don't work. What do you think about our offense from camp?
In terms of Stephen Hill?
Yeah, and like our receivers.
You know, I think that when you
minus
look at
Decker, that's like the obvious.
When you look at these wide receivers right now, I mean, it's up in the air. You have young guys coming in here who we don't really know a lot about and what their body of work is. So I think you have to rely on your big gun, which is going to be Eric Decker. I think you're going to rely on Jeremy Curley. But I think guys like Stephen Hill, Saunders, and Shaq Evans, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they fit into the big grand scheme of things and how it works out for them.
Because I'll shout out S. Chow's. He started the thread. The race.
I love when you start talking these names from the forum. It always gets very interesting.
The rookie free agent, F. Childs. He started the thread. The race is on to find the number 2 just by receiver. I still don't like saying that because I don't know. I just think it's kind of ridiculous. We really won't know until probably game 1, but. It's a really good thread. So, I mean, I think everyone should go to it. It's pretty informative. And I also like Integrity 28's no words, pictures. A picture says 1,000 words, what his thoughts are on it. So that's cute. That's very nice. wheelchair accident. That's really nice. And then Joni is laughing and pointing. But, the Twitter is a little quiet because it's all soccer. Football. Yeah, you know.
Are you a big World Cup fan, Courtney?
No, I'm not a bandwagon fan. You know, I'm not one of those. I'm not gonna lie. Plain and simple. If I'm going to
your video contest, correct?
Yeah, we got a few. Yeah, finally, we got a few more. What's not a contest? It's more just like send in pictures and. You know, if they're suitable. and decent, we will add them to the fan video. So we actually got a couple more in so I can add them, and that will be out shortly. I needed a couple more. That's what's taking so long. So we have to get
her videos. That's what you want to promote on here tonight, is you need videos?
Well, pictures. But I got some. I have enough now, so I can finally put the video together from the pictures. So,
well, that's...
Are you going to Cortland?
I am not. Unfortunately, I will. My boundaries are gonna stop at Scotch Plains in terms of motoring around. So that was a decent commute for me, I guess, a half hour away. But I think that I will not be up there in terms of for the training camp. But I definitely will be around. You know, once they get back in Florham Park in terms of. And when their games get going on. How about you? You going up to Cortland?
I don't think so, but are you going on the cruise? How about that Jets cruise, huh?
On a cruise? I don't even know about
what's
a cruise.
What's that about? Oh, yeah, they're just having a cruise next year from, like, the Keys to, like, Fort Lauderdale. I mean, I don't know what players are really going on it. Yeah.
So are you going on a cruise? Is that what we're hearing tonight?
No, I don't know. They just posted it. They just put it out there. I guess it depends on the players that are going. I really am curious as to what players are signing up for this cruise, and it will be stuck out at sea with a bunch of fans. That's kind of. I'm very interested in that.
What's the over and under on fist fights? 5, I'll say.
What do you mean? Between me and other people?
No, just between Jets fans. With it, between you and other
fans?
People,
I know.
I'll go under 10 for you. Definitely 10 is your number. I have heard from numerous amounts of people that you're very easy to push their buttons in terms of throwing some fists around.
It depends on the alcohol intake. That's like a crazy booze cruise among Jets fans. You know, like a Patriots fan is going to like sneak on there. He's going to take off his like Mark Sanchez jersey, also be like a Tom Brady jersey underneath, and like a trial breakout.
I don't think anybody on the cruise, Courtney. I know this really pains.
No, listen, I'm saying it's going to be a Patriots fan that's going to wear it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't even know if those are being purchased. I think they got put on back order, and they're not even purchased.
No, they're selling them in the Jets shop for $110.
For $110, I wouldn't eat. You would have to pay me $10 to take it off your hands.
Listen, you're still selling Centennial Homes jerseys also for $110.
I'll keep my number 10. I like my Santonio Holmes jersey, but I have two Mark Sanchez jerseys, and they are in the closet, and they will go away.
I think they're selling Dustin Keller jersey, too. I don't know why they're selling these old jerseys. They should step it up a little. We have, like, 100 draft picks. They can at least sell one of them. Anyway. That's my little spiel for tonight. Thanks for spending the time here.
Thank you so much, Courtney. I appreciate it. And if there's anything else you would like to add, you can definitely check her out on Twitter. As she needs pictures, people. We have to help out our JetNation.com folks. They have a lot of stuff going on. A lot of check out the forums at JetNation.com, and you can follow her at Courtney, last name A-U-R-I-L-O-L-L-O. At Courtney Arillo on Twitter. So go ahead and check her out on Twitter. And Courtney, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
And that was Courtney from JetNation.com. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Love the debate from everybody. You know, that's what makes these shows happen. That's what makes everything great. You know, I think that now we all kind of see what's taking place with this offseason. It's great to talk about. Again, big shout-out to Connor Rogers coming on the show and talking with us. You know, debate is great. That's what makes the show goes around. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Right here on Jet Nation Radio.